Today, as we spend the last day of the year together, I want to talk about paying the cost. Are you willing to pay the cost to become a better Christian in 2007? We talk about paying the cost, and usually in the context we speak about, we're talking about someone becoming a Christian. And of course, that's a very important context. But I want to talk about it a little bit differently today. Are you willing to pay the cost for whatever it's going to take for you to become a better Christian next year? And indeed, it's going to take something from you. It's going to take something different than you gave in 2006 this year. It's going to take perhaps more of your time, maybe more of your financial resources, maybe more time studying the Bible, maybe more time in personal work or personal evangelism or teaching a class or whatever it may be. You need to decide that for yourself. But are you willing to pay that price, whatever it is? As Alan already read for us in Matthew chapter 10 and beginning in verse 24, Jesus tells us there's a price. He tells us in verse 24 that we can't expect people to treat us any differently than they treated Jesus Christ. I saw this morning on Fox News what is supposed to be a video that was taken of Saddam Hussein's hanging that was not put out by any official source and probably taken using a cell phone. And shows a lot more than we saw yesterday on the news. On the news, it looked like it was a pretty calm, sedate situation, but there was no audio there. And when you get the audio with that whole thing, and you see the conversations going back and forth, you can see that it was not a very nice thing. And they didn't treat Jesus very nicely either. And so there's going to be a cost. They're going to treat us like they treated Jesus. And when they do that, verse 25, don't think that life is bad because it's not. But it truly is good. In Hebrews 12, the statement is made, the fact is made, as he is speaking there to Christians and making the point that they had not endured to the shedding of blood by the hostility of sinners. And all of us are living, and so life really is good. But verses 26 through 28, our attitude is not to fear. We're not to fear those who can kill the body, but fear the one who can kill both the body and soul in hell. We need to fear God and respect Him and keep our priorities upon God and don't worry about the other things. Know that God is going to take care of us, that He knows what's happening. Even with a little bird, a little sparrow, God knows what's going on. And He knows what's going on with us. And He knows what's happening in our life. And for us, verses 32 and 33, we need to just hold fast to our confession. As Paul says to Timothy, hold fast the confession. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and all that that means. As we render our obedience and our humble service to Jesus Christ. And then verse 34, Jesus says, do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Peace and goodwill to all men. That's the season we're in right now. Secular season, secular observance. But Jesus did not come to bring peace. Jesus came to bring a sword, and that is the price, and that is the cost. Is to suffer the sword. Are we willing to pay the price, to pay the cost, to be a better Christian? Not to get to the end of 2007, and it's just been another year, status quo, like the previous year. But have we set forth goals and objectives whereby to be better in our service to God? Have you done that? What are they? Turn your Bibles with me over to Matthew chapter 16. what is the cost, Matthew chapter 16. And beginning in verse 24, Matthew 16 and beginning in verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself. Brethren, there are some things we need to deny ourselves of in 2007 that we did not in 2006. Am I speaking about sin? No. I'm not speaking about sin. I'm speaking about those things whereby we can become more profitable in the service to God. Whether it be cutting out a little television or cutting out a movie once a month or cutting out a pizza that we may spend the money to go out to eat that we could use to do something else, you need to decide for yourself what that is. And I'm not here today to decide for you. But all of us need to make these decisions. What is it we're going to deny ourselves of to be a better Christian in the next 12 months? Jesus says he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? The cost is to deny ourselves and take up our cross. Indeed, as a Christian, you've taken up your cross. Indeed, as a Christian, you're denying yourself every day. But what is the next cross you can pick up and carry? We all have them. What is the next cross? And will you do it? Remember Stephen in Acts chapter 7. There was a cost. As he preached the gospel to those who were dying in sin, inspired by the Holy Spirit, it cost him his life. Remember the Apostle Paul, turn over if you would please to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 as Paul is reviewing some of the very difficult things he endured in his life. And certainly as we review our lives up to this point, none of us here have it as difficult as the Apostle Paul. But compare yourself here. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so. In far more labors and far more imprisonments. Beaten times without number. Often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. There was a cost to be paid. Paul's life started out as a Christian. And it wasn't all that bad. He spent some time in Tarsus and then eventually was brought down to Antioch and things were not all that bad. He went about preaching the gospel and things got a little worse, but they were not all that bad. And as he grew and matured as an apostle, the cost became just a little bit greater. And are we willing for that cost to be just a little bit greater? And indeed, it's self-imposed. We don't have anyone here laying hands on us and throwing us in prison and doing things such as that. It's self-imposed. Brethren, will we self-impose these things upon ourselves in 2007? You would turn your Bibles back over to Matthew chapter 10 for just a moment. Matthew chapter 10, and this has to be our attitude, beginning in verse 34. Matthew chapter 10 and beginning in verse 34. Again, we read this verse, so let me read it again. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be as the members of his household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. Are we willing to lose our life a little bit more? Turn off that TV, not go to that movie, not buy that pizza. So there's something else we can do in service to the Lord. Are we willing not to watch those commercials and pick up the telephone? Are we willing not to go out and have a recreational activity one evening and go visit the sick and the shut-in? A little bit more. Are we willing to lose our life? Just a little more. Again, it's self-imposed. Are you willing to do that? Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22, if anyone does not love the Lord, he is to be accursed. And our attitude is, I have to love God more. Mother, father, brother, sister, I have to love God more. TV, movies, pizzas, golf, camping, boating, whatever it is. Whatever it is for you. And are we willing to love God a little bit more this year? Are you willing to do that? To set some of these other things aside just a little bit more. Have you done it before? Yes. Have you set them aside before? Are you willing to set them aside just a little bit more? So you can do just a little bit more in the service of God. We think about Peter and Andrew as they were called to be apostles, and they left their father to follow Jesus Christ. Jesus was asked by Peter one time, look, we've left all. What is there for us? He said, you have a great reward. Your reward's not here upon the earth. Your reward is in heaven, laying up treasure in heaven. Are we willing to lay up more treasure in heaven in 2007? And a little bit less on earth? It's a decision we have to make. Self-imposed. Turn your Bibles with me over to Matthew chapter 7. The cost, deny ourselves, take up our cross, love Jesus more than anything else. In Matthew chapter 7, serve God with the minority. Serve God with the few. Matthew chapter 7. Verses 13 and 14, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Are we willing to be with a minority? Perhaps even among our brethren. Are we willing to be with the minority? Who are willing, perhaps, to deny ourselves more than is customary in our very prosperous country? Are we willing to do that? Verses 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. I think there are going to be some Christians that get up to judgment time who haven't done the things we're talking about this morning, but just sort of maintain the status quo. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the things of this life. We're told to enjoy them. But we have to make a decision. How much is enough? I'm afraid there may be some brethren who have made the wrong decision and get to heaven. Find out. that they weren't denying themselves as much as they ought to be. They hadn't picked up enough crosses. Jesus tells us to the ones who are given more, more is required. Brethren, more is required of us. More is required. There are going to be some poor people get to judgment time, and there's not going to be as much required of them because they didn't have as much. We're the ones who have so much more than most people in all the world. And are we going to deny ourselves of that just a little bit more to be a little more fruitful in the kingdom? Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? They're saying, hey, weren't we doing a great job? Lord, Lord, didn't I preach good sermons, lead good singing, teach good Bible class? Wasn't I sitting in that pew all the time? So I didn't hack it. And then I would declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. We may not be committing some overt sin, but we may be omitting those things that we ought to be doing. We may be doing that. And if I have the ability to do something for the Lord, and if I'm not doing it because I'm too busy watching TV and eating pizza, that's lawlessness. That's lawlessness. What's it going to be for 2007? If you would, turn your Bibles over to Luke 14. Luke 14. Jesus teaches us about counting the cost. Luke chapter 14 and verse 25. Now large crowds were going along with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Are you willing to hate your own life a little bit more in 07? That's what I'm talking about today. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation, is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him. There is a house I pass from time to time, and it's in a very nice subdivision. As you drive by the subdivision, you can see it. You can see somebody started it, and for whatever reason didn't finish it, and it's starting to look worn and weathered on the outside. I wouldn't buy that house for anything, because it's just sitting out in the weather. When I pass that house, I wonder if he neglected to count the cost, or she. And now it's just sitting there, rotting away. Not even protected from the elements. And this is the illustration Jesus is giving to us. Are we willing to count the cost? To count it now, to make next year a better year? Or are we just going to be in denial and we're going to find ourselves the same place next year doing the same thing? Jesus gives another illustration. Verse 30. 31. Or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. Here is the illustration on counting the cost to finish what you started. Well, both of them are, really. Now let me say, and I've said it before, I think we've had a great year. I think we've had an extraordinary year. I think we've had an excellent year. But at midnight tonight is the end of this year. What are we going to do next year? That's the question. Jerry Flatt told me the elders are going to speak to the congregation again real soon, just like last year. Set forth goals, objectives, what we'd like to do. And there's some cost counting to be done, whether we're going to accomplish that or not. Count the cost. Go down to 34 and 35. Of someone who does not count the cost, this is what happens. Therefore, salt is good, but if even salt has become tasteless, with what will it be seasoned? It is useless either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Okay. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. What's Jesus really saying? Jesus is saying is that if we do not count the cost and if we fail as Christians, we are worthless. That's what he's saying. Turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Peter chapter 2, and Peter says it in a different way. And here he's talking about a dog and a sow. And he's comparing this to these two creatures. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. For if after they have escaped from the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn away from the holy commandment handed on to them. It has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, after washing, returns to wallowing in the mire. Tonight I'm going to talk about two congregations we read about in the book of Revelation. But I'm reminded of those two congregations right now. One had lost their first love, and the other was lukewarm. They were still congregations. They still had the lampstand. Jesus hadn't taken it away yet. But he was about ready if some things didn't change. And I'm sorry to say, I think that's the condition of many congregations today. Living in all of our opulence and all of our wealth. A lot of people are happy to play church and not be a church. As I said, 2006, I think we're a great church. 2006 is drawing to an end. How about 2007? What kind of church are we going to be? And you can't be a great church unless you're an improving church, unless you're a maturing church. I think we will do it. I think we'll pay the cost. What do you think? Questions for your heart. 2007, have you counted the cost? What's it going to take for you to become a better Christian in the next 12 months? What will it cost you personally? Some of your time, some of your money, some of your mental energy, some of your physical energy. What's it going to cost? What will you have to do? List five things you need to do differently in the next 12 months. What changes will you have to make? What changes? Who do you want to be at the end of next year? Who do you want to be? What do you want to be at the end of next year? How about some questions for 2006? What could you have done better? What could you have done better? Those are the things we need to do for next year. If you could live 2006 all over again, what would you have done differently? That's what we need to do in 2007. How committed are you to making 2007 a better year and not repeating the same, shall I call them mistakes? I call them mistakes for myself. How committed are you? How committed are you? Well, if you'll pay the cost, there's something that the Lord will give you for free. Revelation chapter 22, and we're going to close the lesson. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. Two times near the end of the book of Revelation, this point is made. Here is the very last time that it's made. The invitation given here, verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. You see, when judgment time comes and we stand before the Lord, the water of life is given without cost, but there is a cost to pay upon earth to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. If we're willing to pay the cost today, we'll receive the waters of life for free. If we're not willing to pay the cost today, those waters of life will not be given. Are you willing to pay the cost? Willing to pay the price? It's not for me to answer. What's your answer? We're going to extend the gospel invitation this morning. Rick selected a song. Rick, I don't think I know this song, but I looked at the words. I like the song. It's a good song. Have you counted the cost? Think about it. Just not as we sing the song, but take it home with you. Think about it. Next week, really think about it. If we can help you this morning in obedience to the gospel, won't you come to the front as we stand and sing.